You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now we are joined in studio with global innovator Matt Hart. Once again, how are you doing, Matt?
Good, thank you. Kia ora, Joel. Really good. Very lovely to be here on a warm and hot Auckland Monday, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really humid. Like, it's pretty overcast, but oh, God, it was so hot yesterday as well. We were just catching up over what we did over the weekend. Actually, it's been a while since you've been in a studio, eh?
Yeah, it's a couple of weeks, and we were talking over the weekend about how mad it is that apparently they were talking about this in our grandparents' time, that the New Zealand school year finishes too early. Kids get back to school, hottest month of the year kicks in. So, you know.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. That's the curse of schooling, I guess.
It is, yeah.
Missed out on the whole month of summer. But what are we talking about today?
So, I thought today, given this whole DeepSeek, you know, ChatGPT, OpenAI thing, I dropped you a note and said, look, let's just begin the conversation around AI and understand that a bit more, how it relates to what we're talking about. The domain of creativity and innovation, and what else we can add to the piles of articles and news press and whatnot that have come up. Obviously, you've heard of this whole DeepSeek thing.
A little bit, yeah. I haven't looked into it too much, but it has been on the news coverage quite a lot.
Well, you know, if you believe the numbers, and of course there'll be some nuancing around that, you know the likes of OpenAI and ChatGPT, have been raising billions, literally billions, to train their AI, and that we're all going on and using. I'm sure you've been using it here.
I actually haven't used it yet. No, I've used like the Snapchat AI to just ask silly questions.
Okay.
But I've not actually used it for any like any purpose,
any
really.
Any application. So you haven't used GPT or Claude or
Gemini? No, I actually haven't.
Well, I don't know. But in my world, in my network, it's a pretty regular daily thing.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting about this world is that the billions spent training and developing and developing what they call compute. So the GPUs that drive the computing power to do the analyzing, pattern recognition, and serve up these seemingly conversational answers that are very clever.
Yeah.
They've spent billions. Chinese say they spend $5 million, $6 million doing this. And what I think is really interesting, we can think of this through the lens of what I call the stack of innovation, in that we get this hardware, software, and then what I call humanware.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we talk about the mother of invention. And what the US did to try and maintain their advantage last year, years before, is they put a ban on NVIDIA, one of the companies that makes these GPUs and has become one of the most valuable companies in the world, exporting those GPUs to China.
Yeah.
So suddenly China didn't have access to the latest technology to drive AI.
Yeah.
So suddenly they're constrained, which is really interesting when you think about the constraints that drive breakthrough innovation. So they're constrained, they have to use less powerful GPUs, they have to work out another way to do this versus the reams of data serving that can drive the others. So they work that out, then they work out that there's a different way to use those GPUs, to use that hardware using software. So actually you would go, the advantage that they've come up with comes from their humanware, comes from their creativity to develop these incredible tools.
Yeah.
And of course the market shat themselves last week. They tanked and lost $1 trillion in value. And so I think what's really interesting that no one seems to be really grasping is that this is an act of creativity and innovation to innovate these tools in more efficient, cost-effective ways.
Yeah.
And it is going to have a radical impact on all of us because we may end up in this world where you get this bifurcation like the Android and iOS world. DeepSeek AI becomes free.
Yeah.
You know, GPT and Claude and Gemini and Google's engines, et cetera, that are the premium end of the market become hugely expensive. And that's going to have implications for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thoughts?
I'm not really that well averse to the world of AI. I'm really, really not. This is a topic I'm a little bit out of my depth in. But I do think it is interesting how, or like where AI is going to go from here, because it just seems like a relatively new concept. I mean, you know, when I was in high school, none of these things really existed. And that wasn't that long ago, really. It was like 5 years ago.
I know.
So it's just like a very swift thing, and there's all these like images coming out, and like, you know, there's... Yeah.
It is moving so fast. And I think, you know, so have you heard of this thing called Google Notebook?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
So what's incredible about Google Notebook? Let's say you're we were talking about you studying for an exam prior to getting going, and you were the last person in the exam, and you're crunching and you're doing whatever, and you're trying to use your mental powers like a processing to get to distill all that learning down into something you can respond to. You're being examined on that knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, people in a sensorial way of learning, you know, we teach everyone in a very blunt way.
Yeah.
We give you knowledge, you present it, you're supposed to ingest it and, yeah. And then regurgitate it.
Yeah.
We know sensorial is either about as people learn better visually, audibly, what we're doing now. Or kinesthetically. What Google Notebook can do is you can ask it some questions and give it a subject domain. And then it can create a podcast around that knowledge that you can pick up, download onto your phone and go for a walk and be learning while this AI engine has created a version of you and I talking around a topic or a subject that is interest
really,
in something we're learning.
That is really, really cool.
And the AI has worked up and produced within seconds,
yeah.
You know, very little compute time, a podcast for you to digest that knowledge.
Yeah. No, I think I have seen that before.
One application.
Yeah, yeah.
Of what is going to be thousands, tens of thousands of applications
yeah.
that are going to deliver and serve all of the things, you know, we talk about what can be digitized will be, or what can be automated will be and is being.
Yeah.
And I think that raises huge questions for us that we could maybe just keep exploring in yeah. this whole segment.
And what do you think... I mean, AI is still a relatively new thing. So what do you think we'll see regarding AI in the future? Like, you know?
So I think more and more, Microsoft did an absolutely genius branding of this Copilot. So Microsoft's yeah. AI is called Copilot.
Yeah.
So the idea that you have your personalized AI assistant
yeah.
that is supporting you in some way, let's hope it doesn't become baked into your brain and the Elon Musk Neuralink thing, but there is a transhumanist movement there about augmenting ourselves. Mm. But let's say at the moment it's on an iPad, it's on your phone or whatever. You have this Copilot that is going to become your productivity tool, your personal diary, your personal assistant, your personal learning coach, your personal fitness coach. It will start to learn you better than you know yourself.
Mm.
What happens to everything?
That sounds a bit scary, to be fair.
Yeah, there are a lot of ethical and moral considerations to yeah. get through.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of some of the problems we're trying to solve, some of the things that we find it really hard to change our behaviors towards better practices that we need to be doing, etc., these AI co-pilots, these agents of change, are going to become hugely powerful and pervasive in our world.
Yeah.
What does that do? I think for me, in my view, it frees our capacity to be more curious, empathetic, collaborative. We become more human,
yeah.
Paradoxically almost, because of this rise in hugely intelligent technology. Mm,
interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I'm very curious to see what happens with AI heading forward.
Well, I think that's what it does. I think that as AI technology moves further up that stack, it goes from hardware into software into it, starts to do some of our human wares, starts to think for us, answer for us. It can create really well, but they tend to be quite vanilla. They're not very emotional or have that depth or feeling.
Yeah, very objective.
It's not a sentient engine, yeah. right? They're very yeah. vanilla.
Yeah.
But as it starts to eat more into doing those mundane tasks, what we should look at is, well, what is it liberating? Mm. And what then does it ask of us to become really expert in?
Yeah.
What parts of those of ourselves can we unleash and do more with? And that's what we're not focused on at the moment. We're really still focusing on what's the hardware, what's the technology,
yeah.
what's the
yeah.
software.
Yeah.
Let's innovate and use that. And I think it actually is soon going to shift to a more democratic view of actually what does it mean to be human, and let's invest and unleash that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all we have, unfortunately.
Well, we should pick this up again because yeah. we've got more. We can talk about some more examples next week, Joel,
yep.
if we're into
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. No, thank all you right, so mate. Much for joining us on the
Kia
show.
Ora, everyone. Great to be here.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.